I'm honored to be here. I always enjoy coming, whether I'm preaching or not. Amen. And I want to say to Brother Mike, and I love all my preacher brethren, but and I'm probably speaking for several preachers. If I'm troubled or I'm bogged down, that's the man of God I'm going to go to. I respect him highly, and I've grown to love him over the years. Today you'll hear Brother Allen preach just a little bit different. In January, well, back before January, God laid it on our heart, and it's probably your mind has thought, why can we not have a great awakening of our day? What is the reasoning behind it? And our church set into prayer meetings every week, and God has sent a revival to a little church in Collingston that's, I'll be honest, a lot, some folks are scared of it, but God is manifesting himself. And during that time that I was begging God for my part, what I needed to do and for real revival to begin within me, I love reading old sermon manuscripts from 1700s and 1800s and different messages and things, and then read of the great awakenings of the past. And one that really struck a chord in my heart was the Haverdeen revivals. But I come across a part of a message that one of the old-time preachers preached, and I just read it. Ain't no way you could preach it because they preached different than we did back then. God burned it in my heart. God's laid it on my heart, and if it changed my life, I hope it will yours. And God has led us today to preach the message that sparked our revival, and I hope it'll help you. If you would stand. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter number 2, verse number 11. Y'all pray for us this morning. Isaiah chapter number 2, verse number 11. And Brother Mike, you wave me down if I get too long. I believe I've got till 9:40. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of being in this place this week. How you've touched our hearts and moved our soul. God, I come this morning simply in obedience to thy command. Lord, as Elijah stood on Mount Carmel in obedience to you, that folk might know that you are God, we stand today in obedience to you. Ask you, Lord, that heaven's dove would rest upon our shoulder today. God, when we leave here, every man, woman, boy, and girl in this place would be revived. God, I pray for Brother John, I pray for Brother Clark. God, as they get ready to preach, God bless them today and feed our soul. But more than anything else, Lord, be glorified, be honored. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. When God alone is exalted, we will have the much needed revival that America needs today. We'll preach on this subject. Simply, the Lord alone shall be exalted. Before time, before ever an angelic being flew, when God existed all by himself, he alone was exalted. As he created the angelic host, and they begin to bow at his feet and cry, "Holy, holy, holy." The Lord alone was exalted. Before time, when God begin creation, and as time began to come into existence, when God began to speak this vast universe into existence, when as He created the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavens, and the earth, and begin to form the mountains and the seas and the valleys and every hill, every plain that He created, the vastness of the oceans and the seas and the rivers and the streams, and begin to form the plant life, the flowers, the trees, and all of those things, and begin to form create the creatures as we know them, the plant life not only, but also the living creatures, those of land and of sea and of air, as they all just begin into existence only at the sound of His voice. And there they stood in all their beauty as God created the day and the night, separated the two with the light of the sun lighting this universe. And as it all stood there in its beauty, and as God spoke, "This is good," we see that even creation, as God stood there, the Lord alone was exalted before trouble. When God reached down into the dust of the earth and began to form man, and as man took shape and He breathed into man's nostrils His own breath, the breath of life, and there man stood, a living soul made in the image and likeness of His Creator, the Lord alone was exalted. There perfect man stood in a perfect world. And as He stood there, and every day in the cool of the day would fellowship, knowing only one thing, the worshiping of His Creator, the Lord alone was exalted. But trouble came. So I want to move hurriedly to the next step before triumph. We see a day when Lucifer set himself up against God and set himself in opposition of all that was good. And Lucifer, cast out of heaven, became the god of this world, deceiving mankind with his deception as he came into this world. And it was a death day to all mankind on that day when Adam chose to rebel and to disobey the command of God and eat of the forbidden tree that God had forbidden him. For God had said, "Hey, of every tree in this beautiful garden that I have given you to dress and to keep, you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat it. For the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." That day, death came to all mankind. It was a sad day in the history of mankind and this world. For that day, the world itself became cursed. And that day, death passed upon all men. For the book says, "Hey, for wherefore has but one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." And so death passed upon all men. But may I say to you, even on that day, as God drove Adam and Eve from that garden, He alone was exalted. As we go through time, I don't have time but to give you the highlights. We know that even in the garden, God set a pattern, hey, where He alone would be exalted. As He took an innocent animal and there slew that animal, making a covering for man's sin that day, setting a pattern that only one thing would be accepted in eternity, and that would be the blood of one day, an innocent lamb that God Himself would prepare. We see, so God chooses Him a people. You know the story. I don't have time to walk all the way down through from Abraham on. But God chose a people that one day wound up in the land of Egypt. Slaves there in the very slime pits of Egypt. 400 plus years they're there in the slime pits.
And so what I want to do today is carry you. I'm talking about now before the triumph. So I want to take you to some places now before the tree where God alone was exalted. What do you mean, Brother Allen? You're talking about slaves in Egypt now, all of those things. But may I just back up? It wasn't in my notes, but may I back up? I want to show you some places where God would rise in all of His mighty power to show this world and show those that would exalt themselves against Him who alone would be exalted, and that was He Himself. So I'm just going to use a couple of familiar places. Folk don't read their Bible like they used to. And I could probably go in there and dig some out that you wouldn't have a clue what I was talking about. But I'm sure everybody here knows of the great flood of Noah's day, when the God of heaven looked down on the creation that He had created. And even the very thoughts of man was only evil continually. And as He looked down upon them, the Bible says that it even repented God that He had made man. I wonder what our God thinks of us today. When He looked down and had it set that, well, I'll just destroy all mankind. Now look, I'm not tampering with sovereignty, but you hear me, God, it repented Him, and He was going to destroy it all. But thank God one man found grace in the eyes of our Lord, and God came to that man by the name of Noah, and He said, Noah, I'm going to destroy my creation. I'm going to destroy it all with a flood. And Noah, I want you to build an ark. And I want you to build it just like this. God told him, hey, look, God, that great architect that formed it all, gave him the pattern. Hey, listen to me. He didn't have to go to his computer and design it out. He spoke it to Noah's ears. It settled in Noah's heart. And day by day, for 120 years, he's hammering away with one hand and preaching away with another, saying, there's coming a flood. Judgment day is coming upon the earth. As they laughed at him, as they scorned at him, he kept right on working, and he kept right on preaching. We see so many today, they can say a little bit about them, and they jump ship. But then the ark was finished. Noah gathered all things God had told him to gather into the ark. I'm just touching the high places. But I pray you see my heart this morning. And then from out of that ark comes a voice. Come thou, Noah, into the ark. And the Bible says Noah and his family went into that ark. And God shut the door. And then God opened up the vastness and the windows of heaven, and then He unloosed the caverns of the deep, and the waters begin to rise. I tell you, as they're screaming, as they're pounding on that ark, let us in, Noah, let us in. Hey, but God had shut the door. He said, I'll open the door, and no man will shut it. I'll shut the door, and no man will open it. And on that day, as they're screaming, as they're crying, wanting to get in, too late, too late. The Lord alone was exalted. Wasn't many days until that ark floated top of the world, that had now become a graveyard to all living creatures. But finally that ark rested on Mount Ararat. Noah comes out, and the Bible says he builds an altar there. Amen. And I can see Noah, Brother Clark, as he looks at his family that's been saved. And he says, the Lord alone shall be exalted. Amen. Then I'll go back to those that were down yonder in Egypt. One day God calls a man out on the backside of the desert by the name of Moses. And He calls him up there. And first thing He says, Moses, take your shoes off, son. You're standing on holy ground. Don't you wish, hey, don't you wish it would be written of me and you that we talk, that God spoke to us as a man face to face? Oh, listen, He talked to me this morning in the wee hours of the morning. I know I ain't Moses, and I know my old face is still as ugly as it was yesterday. But may I say to you, I got to talk to Him, and He got to talking to me. The Lord alone shall be exalted. He said, Moses, I have seen the affliction of my people, and I have heard their cry, and I am come down to deliver them. And so you know the story, how Moses argued around a little bit, but Moses went back, and he said, Pharaoh, God said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, who is that God that I should let Israel go? Well, I'm telling you, 9 plagues later, when the land of Egypt lay desolate and dark, when the cattle were diseased and dying, when the food supply had run out, and then God says, one more time will I come through. And I tell you what I want you to do. You get you a lamb, a firstling of the flock. You pull him, put him up, and on the day that I pass by, I want you to kill him. Hey, and I want you to get inside your house, and you take the blood of that lamb, and you strike it on the side post and over the mantle, and you get yourself in. Hey, you better lock in with him, friend. One of these days, that same angel is going to pass by us. He said, don't you come out. You stay in the house. Hey, and I tell you, that night, hey, on the inside you'll find a light shining, but on the outside, great darkness. On the inside you'll find laughter and joy, but on the outside you hear the screams of moms and dads, because God had said, this night the firstborn of every man and every creature will die in the land. Oh, on the outside there's death. Oh, on the outside there's destruction, but on the inside there is life. And the only difference you can find is where the blood had been applied. That night, as morning rises and there's death all around, the children of Israel rise in their life, and the Lord alone is exalted. As Pharaoh says, get gone, Moses. He gathers up them Jews, and they start their journey, Brother Clark. And as they start their journey, they make it all the way down to the Red Sea. And when they get to the Red Sea, they got a mountain on one side. They got a desert on the other side. And they got the Red Sea in front of them. God's led them by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And they're sitting there pondering in their mind, we can't climb that mountain. We don't have enough to get across that desert. Here's the Red Sea. And they had already forgotten that God had just delivered them from 400 plus years of bondage. Oh, and there they stand. They look back, and Pharaoh, his heart's done hardened again. He's stirred up. He gathers all of his army, and he pursues after them. Oh, and they're coming. I can see the fear as it begins to grip the souls of those children of Israel. And they go to Moses and say, what are we going to do? Moses said, God said nothing. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God moves from in front of the children of Israel, and He moves between them and the Egyptian soldiers. Now, folks, you go read your Bible. It was the choice of the choice coming after them. And He blinds them and disgruntles them. And then God takes that east wind, and He begins to blow. And He stands the Red Sea up. A heap on the right side, a heap on the left side. And I don't care what the History Channel says, there wasn't even a mud puddle in that place. It was dry as a bone, I'm telling you. And hey, and He parted that water, and the children of Israel went across. I can see them standing on the other side as God removes that pillar from in front of the Egyptians. And they see that opening as they begin to lash and get those chariots a-rolling. They're coming fast. They're coming hard. But there Israel standing watching what's going to happen when all of a sudden God begins to roll in the waters. Hey, and in one mighty stroke of His hand, He annihilates and destroys that enemy. I can see them standing there as they look up to heaven and say, "The Lord alone shall be exalted." There's so many places I could go. I could go where Israel themselves rebelled against God. Listen to me, church. God sent an angel and began to wipe them down. But I read the many. Go study the book of Joshua. You know what I love about the book of Joshua? God said, every place that the sole of your foot touches, I'm going to give it to you. And you know what? When I finished out his life, Brother Clark, I found out that God did do just what He said. The Lord alone shall be exalted. I could go to many, many places and show you, hey, what about them three Hebrew boys? Hey, when they wouldn't bend nor bow. Hey, and the king threw them in the fire. But when he looked in there, he saw a fourth man walking. Oh, and you know what he said? Hey, their God is God. The Lord alone shall be exalted. But then one day, at the appointed time, steps one out of glory. Hey, let me catch my breath. Don't believe into this that one day God just decided to come to earth. Can I say to you, He was exalted before the world ever was, for He stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But at the appointed time, one steps up from the throne and He lays down His robe and His crown to be born in a manger in Bethlehem. But may I say to you, even the angels declared His coming into the world as they told Mary and Joseph, His name shall be called Jesus, for He'll save His people from their sin. His name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. What are you saying? Hey, what about when He was, before He was ever born, when Mary was over there visiting with Elizabeth, John was shouting and giving God glory that He deserved before He ever left His mama's womb.
Right.
When He was born, the hills of Judea lit up and spoke, and the angels once again spoke to some shepherd boys there and said, "Behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For this day is born to thee in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And they said, "Oh, let us go see this sight." And my Bible says that when they left here, and I'm paraphrasing, because they said, "Oh, what we have seen." And they went home glorifying God. You know what them shepherds said? "The Lord alone shall be exalted." Who is this one that's coming to the world? The conqueror, the Savior, the Redeemer. He came into this world. He conquered distance, Brother Clark. We couldn't get to God, so He came to us. Deity wrapped in humanity. God in human flesh. He's walking among us. He's conquering disease. He's conquering distresses. He's conquering, boy, my mind's just a-running. He's conquering, He's conquering disasters. Oh, but what I like is one day, now we're getting to the tree. One day He who knew no sin became sin for us. He took a cruel beating, beaten beyond recognition. But on a cross, He said these words, "It is finished. The Lord alone shall be exalted." He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Oh, did He really do that, Brother Allen? That's what my Bible says. Amen. I don't know who said it, and I'm still reading the same one I started with. Amen. Revelation 1:18. "I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, alive forevermore." Amen. "And have the keys of hell and of death." Hey, do you know that's who John MacPhail saw when he stood in that prayer meeting over yonder in the Aberdeen Island? When Duncan Campbell said, "Pray, John, you're closer to God than I am." He stood up from that front seat where he had wet the floor with his tears, and he said, "I see the windows of heaven open, and I see one with a golden girdle. That on that girdle are the keys of death and hell. My God, there's the power. Turn it loose. I'm telling you, the Lord alone shall be exalted. He dies on Calvary. I don't have time to go into all of it. Conquers death, hell, and the grave. He leads captivity captive, and he's bringing good gifts to men. Amen. Folks, don't think Calvary and the blood's any good no more. On the third day, he arises. God had turned his back. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But now God has sent an angel down and rolled the stone away, not for him to get out, but so Peter and John could get in. Hey, listen to me. I want you to understand. Heaven was rejoicing because the Lamb now lives again. Here's the part I like. He shows himself openly after his passion. 40 days. 40 days he's ascending. He's descending. What's he doing, Brother Allen? I tell you what he's doing. He's settling once and for all redemption for man that Adam lost us way back yonder. Oh, listen to me. I want you to know we're living in a world now whom the God of this world is blinding the eyes of them that believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, could shine unto them. What are you saying, Brother Allen? Hey, the devil's still at work, but I want you to understand he's a defeated foe. Hey, when Christ, and I know folks see this a little different, but I'm preaching right now. Please hear me. I'm not trying to cross your doctrine, but I see it like this. I believe old Satan was sitting at his desk on that Friday morning, that Friday night. But on Saturday morning, Jesus walks into his office and reaches on the desk and says, "I'll take them, buddy. You're defeated." Hey, you listen to me. We're letting an enemy whoop us every day of our life that's already defeated. I got to hurry. I don't even know how much time I got left. Listen to me. He ascends to heaven. Boy, I like what he did. Go read verse 19 of that chapter. But I like what Jesus did while he was on the cross. 6th to the 9th hour, he shook terribly this earth. Amen. And why? Hey, during that shaking, during that darkness, something happened. Hey, not only was the earth mourning, but God of heaven reached down and took something out of the way. He reached down from heaven, and from the top to the bottom, he rent a veil that forever since it had ever been hung up said, no man can come in. Only the high priest alone could go in there. And that once a year. And that once a year wasn't good enough because all it would do was set us back a year. Hey, and all during that year, I want you to understand there would be a remembrance of sin. But after Jesus rose from the grave, not by the blood of bulls and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into that holy place. Oh, listen, those others stood saying that the way into the holies of holies was not yet made. But I'm telling you, when he rose, he didn't go there. He didn't go there with bulls or calves or red heifers or turtle doves. Oh, no, sir. He gathered up his own blood and he took it into the very throne room of God. And there he placed it on a mercy seat where I believe above that mercy seat there was standing one by the name of Justice that every day cried death. Every day he cried death. But that day when he saw the blood, mercy walked in and justice sat down. And great grace now is given to mankind. And the Lord alone was exalted. Can I go a little bit further? Have I told you yet? He's alive. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, when he had, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of God. But now he's fixing to make his final ascension. He gathers his infant church with final instructions. What are they, Brother Allen? Pray and wait. I'm afraid a lot of times, preachers, let me speak to us a minute. We've got ahead of God. We've just decided, boy, this right here will preach good. We've got to pray and wait. Brother Mike, I've been nervous as a cat over preaching this message. But God hadn't took that warning of revival out. And until He's exalted, we'll not have it. He gathers them. He says, you tarry in Jerusalem till you're endured with power from on high. Oh, listen to me. Why, if the early church could not do it in their own power, do we think in this day and hour that we can do it in ours? Why do we think that? He said, boy, I like what he said in verse 8 of Acts chapter number 1. He said, but you shall, not maybe, not might, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And listen to this, and you shall be, not might be, not maybe be, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. I like that. You know why? Because it lets me know why I want to tell somebody. Hey, when you get saved, friend, there's a change in your life. You can't keep it to yourself. He said, you shall be witnesses unto me. Them boys is in an upper room the way a church ought to be. In one accord. They're not talking about their fishing trip. They're not talking about their hunting trip. They're not talking about the ball game they had last week. They're praying to the God of heaven that told them to pray. And all of a sudden there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it set upon each of them. Oh, listen to me. Hey, and then all of a sudden something began to happen. They begin to speak like they never spoke before. Hey, old Peter done went silent. Hey, after he wound up in the chicken yard, he didn't want to say no more. He done got his foot so far down his throat. He said, I've messed up good. Ain't nothing I can do. But that day when the Spirit came, it began to stir. And I can see old Peter. He said, hey, you know how we are preachers. He's sitting there, his foot's doing this. Oh, let me go. Let me say something. Are y'all I'm going to say something, boys? I can see him. And all of a sudden, he stands up when they think they're all drunk with wine. And he said, ye men of Israel, these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third day of the hour. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. I tell you, that day, as folks begin to say, what was they doing? They preaching Jesus. Hey, he'll still get the job done. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I'm telling you, they're preaching Jesus. They're preaching Him personified. They're preaching Him crucified. But they're preaching Him risen again and coming again. Folks are saying, what must I do to be saved? They repeated the same message John did. Repent. I'm telling you, that day, the Lord alone was exalted. 3,000 souls saved. Week later, 5,000 saved. A few chapters over, they turned the world upside down. Go study your history. Within 50 years, a government that had their hand on them and had a man by the Apostle Paul locked up in their prison. In every major city of Rome, there was a church that was magnifying and glorifying God. What was the difference? They had one thought. The Lord alone shall be exalted. What time? Exalted. What time is it? Have I got at least 10 more minutes? No, I'm done. I'll jump to my final point. God's good. But I'm obedient to Pastor. They went on. I was going to tell you about another time. It didn't make world history. Matter of fact, it didn't make a lot of local history. It was known only to a few people. But when God called forth a sinner who thought he was good, thought he was better than most. And he showed me how black my heart was, how vile my nature was, how desperately wicked I was. And I became, as the Apostle Paul, the sin I once loved, I now hated. Because that sin had brought me to be and rendered me dead in trespasses and in sin. But I saw a ray of light. I saw a ray of hope as God began to compel me to come, as He began to draw me with sweet cords of love. And there I stood, helpless and hopeless. But I said, God, if You'll save me, I'll serve You. And that day, that sin that had left me dead, that sin that had darkened my soul, was washed away in His blood. The times in my life when on the mountaintops, I hope you've never been here, when I begin to think myself something, when I begin to exalt myself and had to be brought low. I'm hurrying, just give me 5 minutes. When I drifted from God, when I got out of the will of God, and I didn't have His joy no more, didn't have His presence no more. And I come home singing an old song, you'll know it. Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sin that made me mourn and drove me from Thy breast. And I prayed as the psalmist did when he said, restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation and uphold me with Thy free spirit. And I heard that voice that had been silent. Yes. And I felt that presence that had been unfelt. And joy returned. May I say to you, the Lord alone shall be exalted. I'm going to read the last point and then I'm turning it. Now before the tribunal. I'm talking about as sure as the Lord came into this world, died, buried, and rose again. As sure as Satan is defeated, as sure as the world turns, it's coming to an end. And we're a judgment-bound people. I'm talking about when He returns, as Revelation 1 says, when He shall come with clouds and every eye shall see Him. And they that pierced Him shall wail because of Him. When He comes, as Matthew says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all of His holy angels with Him, and then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and there shall be gathered before Him all nations, and He'll divide them as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Where Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints, to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. I tell you, He'll be exalted. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with Him to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He'll be exalted. That day when Satan is cast into the lake of fire, the Lord alone shall be exalted. That day of judgment for the sinner, when they bow and confess that He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, on their way to hell, the Lord alone shall be exalted. That day, saints, when we're gathered before Him to give an account of ourselves unto Him, and then past judgment we enter into eternal glory with Him, the Lord alone shall be exalted. I close with this. Church, when we can say to our groom, we'll espouse ourselves to none other, the Lord alone shall be exalted. Revival will come. Amen.
When we, as the saints of God, can say, I'll no longer commit spiritual adultery with this world, the Lord alone shall be exalted. Revival will come. Sinner, when you'll come to Him to be saved, so that He alone shall be exalted, you'll be saved. I'm done. When you give Him all of you, you'll get all of Him. Brother Mike.